On the cover, Alpha, Flaxen, Thomas, and Alice are in the library yelling at each other. Through the window, Speed Demon adjusts the lapels of Radford's Revenant coat. The title reads, Cornfield Chaos, Issue Number 2, Failing Friendship. This issue starring Flaxen, unraveling before your eyes. Cursed Mirror, a reflection given life. Survivor, he'll do what it takes. And Copycat, out of time, out of patience. And then we turn the page and we see Alpha at the breakfast table.
In his left hand, he has a fork, and in his right hand, he has a pencil. And he has a little, like a mini sketch pad on the table to the right side of his plate.
Both Aunt Marcy and Uncle Oakland. Uncle Oak.
Uncle Oaky.
Uncle Oaky, yes. I'm here for that. Uncle Oaky are sitting at the table with you, and Uncle Oak has been like, "Oh, Alpha son, you never put that stuff down, do you? It's okay to take a break."
Well, my next webcomic chapter is due by tomorrow. I need to finish it. And he's like sketching out just kind of a rough plan of the next few pages. And he flips one page over and he gets to work on the next one. And he flips that over and gets to work on the next. In between bites of French toast. It's a very inconvenient food to eat while sketching.
Oh boy, is it. How much syrup do you get on the page?
He's very careful. He's like leaning over one side and then to the other. This is like a daily ritual.
Uncle Oak just kind of reaches over and does a little hair tossel. Ah, you're always working hard at that, aren't you, kiddo?
Well, if I don't, the fans will be disappointed that I get a chapter out this week. Sketch, 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 sketch.
Yeah, of course, the fans. It looks like Uncle Oakie's about to say something, but then your aunt cuts in and she says, "So what are your plans today, sweetie?"
Oh, I'm going to the library. Sunday's library day.
Oh yeah, right. Library day. Do you need me to pack up some stuff for your little library friend?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll get that as soon as we're done. How is your little library friend? Are they good? Are they doing good?
Sketch, 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 sketch. yeah, she's good.
Yeah? How are your other friends? You haven't mentioned Ron or Alice in a while. Are they doing good?
I out of character. Who is Ron?
Ron is Alice's boyfriend. Or Lynx's boyfriend.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I didn't follow this.
Yeah, that's fine. Just, they're people you know. You can say they're good and blow off your aunt.
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, it's the same as always.
Yeah,
sketch,
okay.
Sketch, 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 sketch,
sketch. Yeah, and it kind of just keeps up like that. They're trying to talk to you and engage, and you're ignoring them to sketch, and I think eventually you guys... I think eventually you guys finish breakfast. You might never finish breakfast.
I've gotta finish this chapter first.
A weekly chapter for a webcomic. Jesus Christ. Alpha's on Burnout Road.
Nightmare.
Yeah.
Sketch, 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 sketch.
Yeah.
And I think when he finishes his French toast, he just like flips his sketchbook shut and like tucks it. He has a little pocket in his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He tucks his pencil in there with a sketchbook.
Okay. Yeah, and I think Uncle Loki, I can't take that seriously, apparently. Uncle Oki, like, we'll clear.
Do you just want to call him Uncle Oak?
No, I do not.
Uncle Oki.
He worked Uncle hard Oki. For the doctorate. It's Professor Oak. Thank you very much.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. Tight ship, everyone.
Yeah. Uncle Oki, clears the table off while your aunt prepares like a little food basket or whatever for Flaxen, or your little library friend, as she calls him.
Oh, they asked for more of those rice cakes from last week, by the way.
Okay, yeah, I'll give them more of those.
Yes. The throwing discs of pain.
It's not even to eat, it's to throw.
Flexen's head just like pops up into the comic book panel. Yes, and then disappears.
Gotta discipline those cultists somehow.
Yeah.
Oh no. No cultists.
No, they're Flexen's.
Where do you think
Keith's
library open on Sunday?
Yeah. No.
That's the service that we do on Sunday, right?
Did you not listen to my trigger warnings? Cults was one of them.
I'm Caster. Just oblivious, is all.
I thought you were Lily.
All right. Hey.
That's a good point. Oblivious.
All right. So you finish your stuff. You get Flax in this treat basket. And you leave the house to head to the library. Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting at your home. It's empty. In despair. And then you see someone walking towards you who looks a lot like Cheats but kind of different. Actually, what does Alpha look like?
A lot like Cheats but kind of different.
Beautiful. Nailed it.
That's what I like.
Excellent description.
It basically just a more put together Cheats. I mean, like, he's mm-hmm. not wearing the same sort of like leather jacket or anything. He's got he has, like I mentioned, he has like a polo shirt with like a pocket protector, but he does have like a denim jacket that he wears over that. So he's not like a total whore or anything.
Does
but...
he also wear jeans?
No.
No, I Canadian mean, tuxedo.
No. Like, he's not like a country boy, but he had like a denim jacket, you know?
Is it the same emo haircut, just parted to the other side?
No, I think his haircut is a little bit more sort of nice, you know? I don't know how else to describe it. Just like, sort of like, you know, your Midwestern mom would look at that and say, oh, you look nice, honey, you know?
So, Thomas. You're sitting in despair, crying, and having a really bad time altogether. And then you see someone who looks kind of like Cheats, but slightly different.
Thomas's instinct is to pick up a rock, and he lofts it like he's about to throw it. And it's just like, who are you?
I think Alpha puts his hands up, and he's like, well, Alpha, who... Who are you?
That's not important. What are you doing here?
I'd like to assess the situation, I guess.
Sure.
Or either that or pierce the mask. I keep wanting to say pierce the veil. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you can pierce the veil.
What's going on with this dude? Death? Why is he questioning me? I'm just walking.
Yeah, pierce his mask. Actually, Thomas, do you want to pierce a mask?
No, I think it's better if my mask gets pierced.
Okay, yeah, you can pierce his mask.
The phrase has lost all meaning.
Is that mundane? I always have a tough
time. Yes, it's plus mundane. And minus angry if you are.
Nope. Okay, I'm using a new set of dice. I'm not using the SpongeBob dice anymore.
Oh,
so I've
no.
rolled a 5 plus 3 mundane. So
oh, damn.
That's an 8.
All right, so you can ask one, What are you really planning? What do you want me to do? What do you intend to do? How could I get your character to blink? How could I gain influence over you?
I think, what do you want me to do? Like, or what do you intend to do?
Thomas. Well,
he's not going to throw the rock at you. He's going to do something else that's highly dangerous.
Like what? You have to answer.
Like turn it into a tiny black hole.
Okay, just checking.
And I gleaned all of that with just my intuition. Yep. And my emotion intuition.
Now this young man looks like a person who can make a small black hole out of a rock.
Nope, you look you see this you don't look quite human anymore. You have black pupilless eyes.
White pupilless eyes, but yeah.
White
and they kind of glow a little bit.
Yep, and you have glowing tattoos. But otherwise,
and glass in me.
And bits of glass poking out of you, and you have a picture of you and your mom in one hand, kind of crinkled, and a rock in the other, and you had just been crying. And Alpha, you get the sense that whatever this person can do with that rock is just catastrophic, is a bad thing. And I think you can tell that he feels threatened. And that's why he's on the defense.
All very accurate.
Alpha's hands are like above his head. And he's like, I'm just going to the library. I'm going to leave. And he takes one step down the sidewalk, but he doesn't take his eyes off you. And he doesn't put his arms down. He just kind of like sidesteps one step over and then another one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he breaks into a sprint.
Thomas, the first familiar face you've seen since you woke up in what's effectively a cell is now sprinting away from you.
I think, like, honestly, Thomas would not be in a very trusting mood right now. Like, he found his home and it's empty, so things are weird. The face of this person that he should know doesn't recognize him. And he's just going to, like, stand there with the rock for, like, a while. And then pull out his phone and text Cheats. You up?
Message not sent.
He'll text Kale. You around?
Message not sent.
He'll text Alice. Are you there?
We're going to go with some comics fuckery. Message sent. Well, I think since Thomas denied that entry into the group, we'll move on to Alice.
Hell
which
yes.
Which is valid. Those valid.
Mm-hmm.
Both valid and poggers.
I'm here to cause problems.
Yep.
All right. Alice comes out of her room, dressed up. She found a dysphoria hoodie in the closet. It was like, you know what? I get why this version of me has this.
Today's the day.
She goes to get breakfast?
Yep. Sitting in like a spot that's clearly for you is like a bowl already made of food. It kind of looks like oatmeal.
Huh.
And Speed Demon's just standing, like leaning up against the counter, like drinking
5-hour energy.
Hold pressed orphan tears?
No, yes. Pressed orphan tears. No, it's like one of those like breakfast shake things that they're not actually shakes. I hate to call them shakes because they're not.
Well, the ones that come in like a little carton.
They're partially gelatinated non-dairy gum-based beverages.
Yeah. all of those suggestions.
Ah, milk.
Feed demon. That's what we're gonna call him, or I don't know. The man that kind of looks like your dad. That's not your dad. Not Dusty is what we'll call him.
A bit above the table, she has access to some memories that are not quite her own. She doesn't know what's going on yet, but I think if she's getting ready, I think she knows he prefers her to call him Speed Demon.
Sure, and yeah.
Yeah, it's like, oh, gruel.
He looks at you and he gives what he probably thinks is a charming smile. And he says, it's got all the nutrients you need for your day.
She gives him the same look back as she sits down.
Okay. And it's not quite gruel. Like it is actually gruel. Like, yeah, it's like a health food, like protein that doesn't taste good at all, but it is like one of those like health mixes that you make, and it's just like jam packed with every nutrient you ever need, but there's no enjoyment to this food at all.
It's really food like this that makes me enjoy the fact that I wake up every day.
Why? He glares at you and he says, my, we're feeling catty today, aren't we, Lynx?
Stares at the food. She does not want to entertain that with even some amusement, even though I think Alice does think that's actually that's so bad it's good. But
good.
Her memories have told her, fuck this guy enough.
Yeah.
And even without the memories, he gives that intro.
He just has the most punchable face you've ever seen in your life.
Hmm.
So at that moment, Radford walks in and he looks mostly the same. His hair's longer. He's more clean shaven. He had kind of a beard before, but now it's like nothing. But his hair's longer and he like looks like more muscular, like more jacked.
All right.
Then you remember him. And he's just yawns and making a beeline to the coffee machine.
I think she's gonna like be more concerned because surely there are like villains who look like just like fuckboy versions of people sometime. So she was thinking maybe that's what's going on. Like she doesn't know what's going on with her radar, but now that she sees someone she can recognize as her dad, one of her dads, and she can't feel him, she's just gonna try to say, hey, Dadford, what's up?
Oh, good. Oh, you guys are up. Morning, yeah. Kiddo.
Morning.
Dear. Getting another cup of coffee. Started working early this morning.
Anything weird going on lately?
He kind of looks at you and before he can answer, Speed Demon speaks up and he says, yes, everything's weird, whatever. Our little soldier's grounded, dear. And Radford says, oh, really? That's a bummer, kiddo. Hey, you know what, though? I could take you to the library. You can get started on that suggested reading list for college that your advisor sent you. And then he looks to Speed Demon and he adds, if that's all right with you.
I would like to pierce my Dadford's mask.
Yeah, pierce that motherfucker.
Yeah, because she does not know what's happening, and he's acting, I don't know, he's the most normal. So that's plus superior, right?
Nope, it's plus mundane, unless you have plus a special mundane thing.
Also a zero. That's a six.
Mark potential. You don't know what's happening. You get no insights.
I think she is going to mark insecure at this because this is way out of her wheelhouse.
Damn, I don't even have to give you a condition, no. And you're like, I'm just going to do a condition.
I think it fits for a condition. She's like, her eyes are darting between them.
Radford looks to Speed Demon for permission to take you to the library, and Speed Demon looks at him and he's like, oh, of course, dear. Nothing's more important than little Lynxie's knowledge and future. And he hands him the keys to the car.
Wow. The keys.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the good timeline where he has the key to the city.
And then Radford looks at you and he's like, you do want to go, right?
Yeah, I just need to get my bag from her. I just came to get breakfast because Sweet Demon didn't want to.
he clears his throat as you start to talk. I'm still, you know, sweats. Let's get ready and then we can go.
All right, I have this question, Shannon.
Yeah.
Is there a second floor in this bad future?
Oh my god, I don't know. Chell, is there? I don't know.
I don't think there is.
Was there a second floor in the first future?
Definitely not. It was a one-story house in the first timeline.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's roughly the same layout as your other house. We decided it is your other house. It's the same.
All right.
It's just more menacing and cold inside.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Okay. Do you want me to meet you at the front door, Dadford?
Yeah.
All right.
Then we can... Well, he points
of
with
course.
His thumb.
Yeah.
Right. And then I think the next panel, if you want to tell what you're grabbing, you can say that.
If it's all right with you, I think she knows something is wrong. The last weird thing she remembered happening was her dad being slapped into a trauma pod.
Yeah,
and then
that
a villain
is the last
disappearing
thing.
Into yep. somewhere.
Mm-hmm. She did get the debrief, which should I give it to you now on mic? Instead of just expecting people to know, or do you want to pepper it throughout?
I'll pepper it throughout. But like the basic thing is, villain kidnapped Smiles, and then put him in a trauma pod. Otherwise, he turned Radford into a cryptid, and then the villain just disappeared after going into the trauma pod, separate trauma. But so.
Well, it was a separate pod. I don't think they experienced any trauma.
They're going to once Alice gets her hand on them. Anyway. But she knows something happened, so I think she goes to the room, goes under her bed, gets the go bag from under the bed, which contains like a knife, stolen money, her set of non-Speed Demon approved clothes. Mm-hmm. And a picture, not her girlfriend in this time, but she met her down in Georgia, a picture Rain had painted for her 16th birthday.
Oh, well, and you also have some gear in the go bag.
And
too,
some gear, where... yeah. Yeah.
Or no, and the gear was in your coat.
The gear's in the coat slash the outfit, which is based part of the hero outfit.
Okay. Are you grabbing that stuff too?
I'm putting the coat and such in the go bag. Just as it looks like a day bag, like one of those messenger day bags.
Yeah, it looks nondescript because that's the purpose of it.
Mm-hmm.
We have the panel of Alice grabbing her stuff. And then we skip to at the car. Radford also has a bag. With him. And he just smiles at you and he's like, ready to go, kiddo?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know where... Should we invite Kale or something?
He just kind of looks at you. And then he's just, let's get in the car.
All right. You get in the car after him.
Yep. And he drives for a couple of blocks, kind of fiddling with the radio and just kind of like has a bunch of nervous energy. And after you reach a predetermined point in his head, he turns and he says, you know Kale? You remember Kale?
They're my best friend. They're
Alice,
like one of my best.
I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened.
What do you mean?
I think we're in a different timeline.
Wait, do you remember the other you remember when Dad wasn't an evil twink?
Yeah. I woke up next to that. What the fuck?
Oh fuck. Oh. No, I'm sorry. I don't have the radar. I can't feel you.
Honey.
I can't.
And he reaches over to like comfort you and he's like, I'm so sorry. I think one of your implants is doing that to you. Wait, hang on. I've been working on this all night. I woke up. We fell asleep in the chair together, right? And
yeah,
Dusty, your dad, he was on the cot. And then I woke up next to Evil Twink. And I've been working on this since then. I've been up most of the morning. Here, I got any kind of fumbles with through his pocket. Like, he's still driving, so like one-handed, like fumbling through his pocket, and he's like, here, this is just in case. This is everything I've come up with, and it's a flash drive. Just in case we get separated, this is for you. This is everything that you should need to know. I wasn't sure if you remembered, so it also has some stuff about our timeline that you don't need filled in on. But there's also some stuff you don't know. Just in case we get separated, okay? I'm gonna set this right. I'm not leaving you here with him, though. I don't know what all you remember, and honestly, I think it might be better if you don't remember.
Because,
holy shit, Alice.
It comes back to me every time I think about it, and... What fucking even happened? Like, there was another person, and now she's gone? And... Like, do you remember the other Radford, or is it just
you?
Like,
I remember some, but holy shit, the thing he's done to this guy.
She flexes her, like, one of her cybernetic arms. I don't know. I'm glad you're here. I don't know what I would do without you.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were gonna be you or the you that this other Radford remembers, but I knew I couldn't leave you, but don't worry, we're gonna make this right. I'm gonna make this right, but you're coming with me because I'm not leaving you with him.
Wait. The kill switch. The thing he triggered in me before.
Yeah, that is one of the most prominent memories the old Radford had. And he had parts of a plan. There's schematics on there too. I got everything I could find. I had to hack super not Dusty, but he's still got his ADHD brain. It was nothing. I got the information from his computer.
She was talking to Rain when it happened.
Oh, kiddo.
God. What? And I think she's going to reach into her bag and, I mean, we discussed this earlier, but pull out a little device. Do you remember the guy who kidnapped me?
Phil?
Yeah.
Sorry, Concierto?
I think he's trapdoor now.
Oh.
But, yeah.
Is he still obsessed with Speed Demon?
I think he had a crush on Dad, but he's, obsessed with stopping. Well? He's obsessed with stopping Speed Demon. I got this signal jammer from him, so...
Do you know how it works? The signal jammer? Do you think it'll jam
the
switch?
I mean, if I
mess up any of your other implants,
I probably won't be able to do remote hacking. God, I can do remote hacking.
But your eyes, your legs, your arms.
He's put so much into you. Wireless or radio waves. Unless he's the kind of jackass to make my occupant implants radio wave based.
I got the files on him and I just grabbed them in the drive. I didn't know how much time I would have. So I didn't get a chance to actually look over the schematics. We'll figure it out.
I don't want to trigger it until it's time to go to Spriggan, because that's where all this happened. This all happened.
Yeah, right? That's 100% where we need to go. We have to figure out. We have to. Right. Hopefully they made the machine again. And we have to figure out how to get Not Dusty in there.
If I can get my radar back, if we can find Thomas, I might be able to coax Dad out of there.
I don't have any memories of Thomas in this timeline.
Fuck.
I mean, I am missing a lot of memories, though, kiddo. He doesn't know what he did yesterday at all.
He's not in my phone.
Actually, hang on. Actually, he's not in your phone. Are you looking at your phone?
I am looking at my phone.
Oh, guess what?
Actually, it would pop up in my eye.
Is it still in your... Or I guess it's in your...
Connected to the
eye.
Ocular implants this time, but...
Yeah.
Is it the other eye?
Mm-hmm.
Just switch sides. Other.
Yeah. Speak of the devil. Press call.
Do you get a call?
Thomas, please pick up. I can't do this for much longer.
Thomas picks up.
Thomas!
Does Alice sound the same?
Would you have any vocal implants?
I don't think she has vocal implants. She sounds a lot more concerned than she usually does.
On the other end of the line, you hear Thomas's voice. Is that you?
As much as me can be. I woke up in my other self's body.
What do you mean by that?
Do you remember Spriggan?
Yes.
Do you remember Kale and Cheats?
Yes.
Okay, you're my Thomas. That's great. We're in bad timeline. Dad is evil. Twink. Other dad, good, but memories are fucky.
His good timeline memories are not. Just the...
Yeah. I need your help, Thomas. Can we pick you up somewhere? We're going to the library. I think that's where Team Base is.
I'll meet you at the library.
Okay.
What kind of car are you driving?
Blah 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 blah.
What's the license plate number?
69420 WTF.
Word. I'll meet you at the library.
Thomas?
Yeah.
I'm glad you're all right.
I hope you're real. Thomas hangs up.
Hello and welcome to the middle. This is March Maskness Edition, and we are previewing Daniel's Dread Tales today. We're not previewing, but we have a trailer from them, and they are very good, and you'll be hearing this all throughout March Maskness, unless I make another one, which I might not, so get used to this bit. Anyway, yeah, we're going to be doing Daniel's Dread Tales trailer today after this, as part of the Imaginary Broadcast Network. And I really hope the Discord notifications aren't showing up. I don't think they are. Oh, we'll find out soon enough. Also, if you want a great game, if you want a lovely game, if you want a game that's not Masks, which I don't see why you wouldn't, because it's Masks all the time, forever, check out the Kickstarter for Interstitial 2E by one Riley Hopkins. It is a kick-ass game. Interstitial 1E was wonderful. Interstitial 2E perfects on several mechanics and makes links even more meaningful now. And I know I haven't talked about it too much on air, but links are like one of my favorite social mechanics ever. Alright, well, I'm gonna let you get to the trailer so we can get back to the episode, and I will see y'all next time.
Hey listener, what if I told you there was an actual play tabletop horror RPG podcast you could listen to right now? Oh hey, no need for that language. You'll be back to your show in a second. Daniel's Dread Tales has got more angry clockwork wives, murderous abominations, and horrific circumstances than you could ever want, and you can find it right here on the Imaginary Broadcast Network. It's as real as you want it to be.
Completely different attitudes. That's great.
So was that a powerful blow of being called My Thomas?
Yeah, does anyone have any sort of feelings about any of that?
So Alice is single in the bad timeline, I see.
Thomas's plan worked, except she isn't.
All I needed is to lose everyone.
I was lying the whole time. Actually, all of this matters.
All right. So, Dadford, who is actually your Dadford, He's like, so Thomas is here.
Thomas is here. Yes, he remembers everything.
So, and he's meeting us at the library? Didn't want to ride?
He's Thomas still.
Fair enough. Alright, so he basically will answer any questions you have, like, otherwise, like, just talking to you and consoling you, and, like...
If it's okay, I think she's gonna try to call Alpha, since that's, like, probably the first name in her phone.
Yeah, because she actually has people's numbers and not their old numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next to Arbucks, which is like Arby's, but also Starbucks.
You call Alpha, who you vaguely recall was on your team. Like, you know, you have a little bit of Lynxy memories.
I hate it when you call it that.
Real Lynxy, trying to lynx us.
Lynxy.
Oh, wait, Alpha.
Alpha, Lynx is calling you.
I pick it up. Hey, Alice, I'm on the way to the library.
Oh, do you remember me?
She do it. I call her by Lynx. Hey, Lynx.
Hey,
to the library.
Alpha. And you sound the same as you do in the other timeline, right?
The voice is the same, you know. I mean, same vocal cords, same, you know.
Who knows? All right. Okay, she... Oh, wait. You're Alpha. Okay. Huh? That explains that. Do you know where... I found Thomas. I don't know if you know Thomas. I didn't find Thomas. Thomas. About? Other member of our team.
You have no what? Idea what she's talking about.
What about Kale?
No, it...
You don't know a Kale either.
Who are you?
Yellow hat, like, you know, kind of cult-aligned, but cool anyway.
Cult-coded.
Hey, you know someone who's yellow and cult-aligned?
Flaxen?
That's a name. Yeah, I guess Flaxen.
Are you... Okay.
Alice what? Takes a long you... moment to consider that question.
Take a powerful blow.
No, but she's gonna lower her voice. I'm not. But we can talk about it when we get to the library. I have a job for us all.
Okay. Well, I got snacks for everyone.
Oh, shit.
Auntie Marcy
yeah.
packed, so I'll meet you there, I guess.
Do you have any rice crackers with you?
Yeah, I had Marcy pack extra.
Cool. I need some for something to take that gruel taste out of my mouth. All right. I'll see you there, Lynx. Oh, fuck, that's my name. I'll see you there, Alpha.
Uh-huh.
And that is, like, totally different from Lynx, who's just like, yeah, mm-hmm, we have a mission.
Alpha's, I think, just confused because Lynx is talking weird and, like, saying names he doesn't know. And she's usually so cold. It's weird for her to be so shaken.
She's a fucking soldier.
Yep. And she was a lot more personable.
And then Alpha goes back to sketching as he walks.
So you guys get to the library individually, but also relatively in the same time-ish.
Yeah, and I think Alpha also arrives in costume.
Alpha, you would get there before Thomas. I think maybe it goes Alpha Thomas, then Allison Radford.
Mm.
But before they show up, how does the Melinda breakfast play out?
Wait, yeah. Yes. I forgot. We're supposed to switch. Oh, wait, hang on. We need to actually hang on. I take this back. I take all of it back. Alpha and Thomas, you don't get there because a thing needs to happen. Allison Radford get there first.
I'm going to be traumatized, aren't I? All right.
Alice and Radford pull up to the library.
All right, Shannon, how dare you?
Mm-hmm. And then Speed Demon shows up. Radford says, oh, hey, Alice, you go on inside and I'll catch up. And he does call you Alice. He was very careful in the kitchen. He only called you kiddo.
She gives him a concerned look. Right.
He smiles reassuringly.
I'll see you later, Dad. She gets out of the car. Is Speed Demon on his side or her side?
His side.
All right, good. I think she gives him another look and then, like, hustles into the library. Shannon, mm-hmm. I think this is what it's going to take to get Alice to take a powerful blow, since she still has enough of Lynx's memories to know any time Radford and Speed Demon are alone.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to listen at the door?
I think she will wait inside the door, yeah.
You do know that in Radford's bag he had, like, his Revenant gear and, like, his anti-speedster, and he had started, like, getting ready while, like, as soon as you pulled up. So he's not completely defenseless, but also Speed Demon's there. You hear them kind of talking, like, back and forth, and it's not particularly, like, clear or enunciated because you're listening in through a door of a library. But then you hear Speed Demon say very clearly, "You woke up late. I cooked a lovely breakfast. We all ate together. You brought Lynx here to get the books on our summer reading list." And then you hear Radford say, like, there's a moment, there's a beat. And then Radford looks, well, you don't know what's happening, but in the panel, Radford looks to Speed Demon and he says, "Oh, hey, hun, did I forget something?" And then Speed Demon just smiles menacingly. And then Radford says, "Why do you have my gear? Are we going out for work?" And then we cut to Kale! Don't worry, you get to take a powerful blow. Let me go back to you.
All right. Thank you, Shannon. I'll roll in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay.
Okay.
You'll have to try harder than that, Shannon.
You were rubbing your eye. I was concerned. Okay.
Right. Same. just remember, airplanes, night sky, shooting stars, falling towers.
you forgot about the Pentagon.
Kale.
Yeah.
You're having breakfast with Grandmama Melinda. What does that look like? What set the scene, because I don't know how tentacle monster Kale eats. Or what tentacle monster Kale eats.
So
but Granny Melinda
eat,
does.
Granny Melinda just cooks normal human food. So it's a Sunday, so it's going to be a big country breakfast. Mm-hmm. There's a mound of grits. There's hash browns that are nice and crispy on either side. Some sunny side up eggs. And then toast cut into, you know, the halfway diagonal across the slice mm-hmm. to make the triangles. You know, just two strips of bacon sticking up side by side. Very, matching, rather twinned. Oh, and she goes, "Don't forget to eat up, honey." And it's just the tentacles move over and, you know, they just bypass cutlery altogether. And it's a clawed tentacle touches the food. And it's as if everything that was the food changes into text, like gets ASCII-ified and absorbed in through the talon.
Okay. Yep. That happens.
Which, you know, has happened many a times and always throws off Alpha when they provide snacks, but mm-hmm. it seems to invigorate and...
Oh yeah, Grandmama's just like, yes. That is the only way to eat.
Yes, Grandmama. Convert to the great scripture of Hastur and consume all within one.
My perfect little girl. You've got it right.
Friends may be coming today. We might be able to plan and finally get the thing.
Ah, yes.
Please be kind. They don't know what tools they are.
I am always kind. They will help you in your journey and your transformation. And I think she like lovingly strokes one of your tentacles.
Mm-hmm. Well, like there's a mass of them that's, you know, head shaped with a good bunch of them flowing back, you know, down over the shoulders that are within the duster. The duster mm-hmm. helps find some humanity. But it is more of a safety blanket that never leaves the bunker.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't go with you.
No.
Okay.
Because it also prevents me from getting into the tighter spaces, becoming the things that I need to be. You know, if we need to ambush somebody in a conference room, there's suspiciously a second conference table that's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Real weird.
Just on top of the first one.
That's so weird. They must have been cleaning in here.
I guess that's the Spring Hills charm.
So she lovingly strokes your tentacle bunch. That sounded weird. I don't like that.
That sounded weird. I think the whole thing sounded weird.
Yep.
Yes, yes. Grandmama knows how to affectionately pat the tentacles.
Yep.
I thank you for saying pat the tentacles and not stroke the tentacles.
Well, you know, she takes a refurbished rake.
Mm.
Like one now of the ones you could step on and it would flack up and hit you in the noggin. And just, you know, gently combs the tentacles with that because the teeth are wide enough apart that it will, you know, grab and separate rather than dig in and harm. Because using a regular comb, it's just torture upon the tentacles.
Yeah, you don't want them to get tangled.
Exactly.
Granny Melinda, she asks you, "Oh, do you need help raking your tentacles today, darling?"
Not today, Grandmama. Not today.
What time are your friends coming? Are they coming here, or are you meeting them in the main library?
We're meeting them in the other halls, for this place is safe for us. This is our place.
Well, yes, of course. I made the whole library safe. The evil one cannot get here. Only the good, the Haster, can get here. No one's ever said
that. The evil one's child is coming. Or should be coming. For the bait is a fun play pet thing.
Yes,
they will help
yes.
in the great cause.
Yes, yes. You have explained the bait is okay.
I'll leave a very clean plate. Because, you know, mm-hmm. plates course. Aren't consumable.
Correct.
But they are replicatable.
You could. I'm just saying, you could totally eat that plate.
Thomas would eat the plate.
Presuming it's plastic.
Yeah, if Thomas was here, he'd eat it. He's not afraid of a little plate.
They're starving Thomases that are not eating their plates. So, you should finish your plate.
Alright, so you go, breakfast is finished. Grandmama gathers the plate. She gives you a little smooch on your almost head.
Mm-hmm. I slither and slide out of the duster and glide it over to her. Please put this back on the hook. I must go and greet them properly. And just like it getting vacuumed into the HVAC, the mass that is Kale just slorps on up and skitters through.
Yep, she hollers after you. Yes, of course, princess. And then goes to do that. Alright, so you make it up to the top part, the main part of the library, where you're greeting your friends.
Mm-hmm. Watching from the vents by the entrance.
You do see a young, tall man What does Fergus look like again?
He stands about 6'8", almost as broad in the shoulder, very barrel built.
Mm-hmm.
And in the good timeline, he just had a softer atmosphere and demeanor. This time it is the more meat suit of a jock that he is, just knowing he has the ability to take a hit and just deliver them back on the gridiron.
Mm-hmm.
And he just walks in. Oh, fuck, it's a library.
Yep.
You know, nerds. Just unwoefully does not want to be here.
Yep. Yep. And he's just walking through the shelves near where Flaxen is peeking through the vents. Does Flaxen come down from the vents at any point?
I wait for him to be in some of the other stacks, just slightly mm-hmm. out of the main view. Maybe like mm-hmm. halfway down the historical fiction section that's needed for the required reading of something something round table. Yeah. And as he's trying to figure out the Dewey Decimal System, just lurk behind him.
Where the fuck is this?
And just drape the book over in front of his face.
What the? Ah!
He runs off screaming and the book gets flung.
I think at that point in time, we'll cut back to Alice once more.
Oh, fuck.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
How'd your powerful blow go?
6 + 1 + 1, 8.
That is, you choose one. And I think there's only one you can really choose due to the fact that you don't have any team here.
Yeah, I think she is like in shock, just like against one of the walls right now, like trying to collect herself. But as soon as she sees someone, she is going to.
You know who you see?
What?
Ron. And he's coming up to you.
Does Ron need to take a powerful blow as a scared jock just barrels into him?
Nah. He's used to Fergus. He just kind of moves out of the way. He's a speedster also. He moves out of the way. He does not get hit by Fergus. But you do see Fergus flying out of the library. And then you see Ron coming up to you. Cat, are you all right? Cat?
What, Ron? Hey, Ron. Hi, wait.
Okay.
She's very clearly not. I think, you know what? I think you were right. I think she is.
You think you are going to take some conditions that I want to give you?
I think she's going to mark hopeless.
Mm-hmm, that one makes sense.
And afraid.
Yep, that also makes sense.
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm not all right. Wait. Cat. Fox. Fox. Yeah, Fox. Yeah, I'm definitely Cat. Yeah, you.
What? What? Yeah, never of mind. Course you're Cat and I'm Fox. That's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did something happen?
I was.
Did you hit your head?
God, I wish. I was talking to my dad, my good dad, and to Dadford, and then Speed Demon came up, and
he just kind of leans, like, next to you. Like, he doesn't. He's not like putting his arm around you or anything. He's just kind of like leaning near you, offering you support without actually touching you. Like, you have to close the gap.
I think at this point, Alice has like her arms like wrapped around herself just in the way that Lynx never would have.
Mm-hmm.
And she does lean into him even without knowing it, like, oh, body nearby.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's kind of doing it, like, that's how he would offer support for Lynx, because she does always like being touched.
You...
Was it a big one this time?
He was my dad, and then he told him that he was going to help me get away. And this time, you're from this time, aren't you?
What? Yeah? What other time would I be from?
She is going to grab his hand.
Mm-hmm. He lets you.
Wait. Were you two dating? Are we dating?
Yes. We've been dating for like 3 months. You were very clear about it when you asked me to be your boyfriend. You made sure I knew it wasn't a joke and you were serious.
I'm so sorry.
It's kind of weird.
That's the real bad timeline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so sorry. I need to tell you something. She's gonna pull him. Is there like a bathroom right off to the side?
Sure, yeah, of course there is.
Alright. And
right outside it are Thomas and Alpha, ready to make sure you kiss and take notes on it.
Yeah, she goes into the bathroom, Thomas.
Alpha's just there sketching away at the life art.
It's not what he's doing.
Ron. Fox. I'm not Lynx. I'm not the Alice from you know.
What do you mean?
Something happened last night. Something happened to my dad. My real dad, Smiles Per Hour, and...
Smiles Per Hour?
Yes, don't worry about the details. He became Speed Demon. That's... Something bad happened last night. Where it's breaking, and... And now I woke up, and... My dad was normal, but... And now I lost him again. And
can I hug you? Even though you're not my okay.
Yeah, she does. Just like bolts to him. I'm sorry, we were always angry at each other. Maybe I was just angry at you because you spoiled a fucking movie for me, but
this does not make any sense to him. He has no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
God, I'm so sorry. The Lynx you knew, she's gone. She stopped existing. I just have her memories.
That she... Okay.
I'm sorry. I didn't need to spring this on you, I'm sure. But
he just kind of hugs you tighter, like, you know, he kind of feels you pulling away, if not physically, emotionally, and he just kind of hugs you tighter and he's like, it's okay. You're all right. Things are gonna be okay. And we'll make this right. And he's just like rubbing your back and comforting you. And also probably does not believe you or know what the fuck you're talking about.
Fair enough.
That's kind of the vibes you're getting from him.
I was going to ask if doxing my entire deal to someone who does report to my father would count as a foolhardy or reckless action.
You know what? I will say, because you specifically told him that you had plans to get away from Speed Demon, yeah, that's pretty fucking foolhardy. All right, while this is happening, Alpha and Thomas, you arrive at the library. Alpha is slightly before Thomas. I don't know if you would recognize Revenant and Speed Demon, but they're outside. Just kind of talking casually. Looks like they're getting ready to get in a car and leave.
I feel like, because Speed Demon would be like all over the news all the time, probably, yeah, right?
Yeah, actually, Speed Demon's not in his costume. He's just Twink, evil Twink Dusting. Revenant, who doesn't have his cowboy hat, but he does have the like signature duster on.
It depends on whether Lynx would introduce Alpha.
Oh, she would not.
Yeah, then I don't think he does. I don't think he recognizes them.
Okay. Yep. Yep. Just a casual conversation.
Do I hear anything of their conversation?
I'm
still walking past. I probably tuck in, you know, my sketchbook into my pocket.
Yeah, you hear the twink one, the evil twink one. He's like, "No, darling, we should just go back home, I think." And then you hear the one in a duster in July. He says, "Okay, yeah, that's." Yeah, I was just driving her here. So let's go back home.
Sounds like a normal conversation to me.
Yeah, it sounds like a normal conversation. And then the guy who threatened you with a rock shows up.
So is the car driving away at this point, or is it just...
Yep.
Okay. So yeah, Thomas is like probably more fixated on the car, which is bank.
You would recognize Radford. Mm-hmm. He looks slightly different. Longer hair. More muscular. But mm-hmm. he still looks like Alice's dad, Radford. And, you know, Alice's dad, Dusty, looks like an evil twink version of Alice's dad, which is what Alice told you.
Mm-hmm. So I think Thomas would, like, watch the car drive away for while before turning back to the library, and like if Thomas notice Alpha, then Thomas slink into bushes, then try to slink into library and keep distance.
Okay. I'm gonna say you both notice each other.
Yeah, he does it just
yeah. So you see the Alpha, you see the weird guy who threatened you with a rock jump into the bush.
Hello?
You just see like two glowing eyes in the bush, like blink slowly.
Are you? I'm not. And he puts his hands back up. I'm not doing anything.
We'll see about that.
I'm gonna go in the library.
Fergus runs out at that moment, almost tramples you, screaming about tentacles and monsters and library cryptids.
What? Fergus, I probably know Fergus. Fergus, what are you? Fergus, what's happening?
He's just running away.
Oh,
fucking library cryptids!
I'm just gonna go inside. Everything's fine. I'm going to the bathroom and I'm going to change into my... nothing. Never mind. Nothing. I didn't say anything.
Yep. You go to the bathroom and you see Alice and Ron hugging.
Hey, Alpha.
I'm going to go change. And I go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Let's give them some space.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
I guess Ron knows about my identity.
Yeah, he does hero... Well... Here, he more does villain stuff, but he thinks he does hero stuff.
So, What are you doing at the library, Ron?
It's library day.
Fucking library day. It's always library day. I guess Sunday is library day.
It's, yeah.
Are we like canonizing this as like a holiday? Because that is not what my intent was.
No. I think maybe it's something day. Like it's something
is it
like
an event
with your group, maybe? Like you guys regularly meet up for library day, maybe?
That was the idea.
Library day, like every Friday at school was pizza day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's library day because it's the day that I bring snacks to everybody at the library.
Yes.
And nothing else. We don't do anything else here.
No.
Just snacks.
Snacks and books.
Alright. Go away from Alpha very quick. I don't know how much Links talk to you like this. But I really need to ground myself. And I never got to talk to my Ron like this. So maybe I kind of wish I had to. Got to. Do you want to go make out somewhere?
And is that when Thomas walks in?
Thomas is like skulking through the library along like the tops of the shelves. And we probably overhear that. And just like a gargoyle perched, he'll just like glower.
Finally, a live example of digestive tubes connecting.
Ron is very eager and excited about this prospect of making out in the library.
And would that consider throwing myself into easy relief?
Yeah. Fucking nail it.
Hell yeah.
So we had a failed example of digestive tubes colliding because that was a digestive tube to respiratory tube.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to roll to make out with Ron, or do you just want to take the free pass?
I'm going to take the free pass.
Whoa, again. You don't want to roll for comfort or support or defend or unleash your powers?
Unleash your powers to make out.
I don't remember what you rolled to make out. I just
directly
remember that it is completely
with his tongue.
I just remember it was pointless.
Hail roll to provoke.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
To provoke what? Arousal?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
If Shannon lets me have the pass, I'll take the pass.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have let Frindicle have the pass.
No, you wouldn't. You wanted the dice. You needed the drama.
I said specifically you could just do it.
Kissing is a free action.
We are fiends who have dice. I'm gonna take the chance.
The heroes are Matt, Chell, Lily, and Frindicle. Jimmy was done by Shannon, the editing and producing was done by Chell. The tracks used in this episode are In and Spotted by Jess, who you can find on Twitter at @roadkill_ghost, and Fire Away, instrumental by Forget the Whale, which is licensed under Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License, and is from freemusicarchive.org. Thank you to Ray Calavis for making her art. You can find her over at @KillyGriffinInc on Twitter or KillyGriffinInc.com. If you like what you heard, leave a rating and review on your podcast of choice. For more shows like this, check out the Imaginary Broadcast Network. And remember, it's as real as you want it to be.